Take your Bibles and turn with me to the book of Revelation, the 19th chapter. This morning, in my final moments of preparation, I've just decided we need to step back and take a little broader view of the text that we're in here in Revelation chapter 19. And we're going to be doing that. We'll be looking this morning at the significance and implication of this text. And I ask you to bear with me in this. What we know is just very, very important. And you notice this text begins by expanding our knowledge. If you come with me, we're down in verse 11 of chapter 19. We went through the 10th verse last Sunday afternoon. And down here in verse 11, John makes the observation, makes a statement, "I saw heaven opened." That is really interesting to think about that. All of a sudden, the doors of heaven opened. And he is seeing something. It's very, very important to see. And I think I quoted this text from Peter this morning in our adult Sunday school class, where Peter makes the statement, he says, "Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved." Now, that's a reference to God's future work as the judge of the world. And that is something that we have been privileged to know through the revelation of God's Word. You know, there's a lot of people that don't know that. And there's a lot of people that know that and ignore it. But the implication of that, seeing that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of people ought we to be? The implication is that something so significant is coming in the future that it ought to change our behavior today. And the right behavioral change is holiness, godliness, and righteousness. Folks, if we really believed what we say we believe, it would alter our lives. We would live differently. But unfortunately, a lot of this stuff is nothing more than academic to us. And we satisfy ourselves with knowing it. Oh yeah, I know that. I know that. Oh, do you really? Now here's something you know that you learned as a child. The law of gravity. And you learned that with bumps and bruises and maybe broken bones. And as a result, you have been honoring the result, the reality of gravity the rest of your life. Do you honor what you know in the Bible? Do you really believe it? And folks, understand that it doesn't take discipline. It just takes belief. I don't wrestle with the fact and go to bed worrying that I'm going to get up and jump off the roof tomorrow. I know better than that. And when we know it, we're changed. I want to talk to you this morning about heaven being opened and some very significant things that God, by His grace, has shown us. Let's pray. Father, as we open Your Word today, I pray that by Your grace, You would reach into our hearts to bring us the knowledge of Your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, kind of hold your place there in Revelation chapter 19, but I want to move you back to Philippians, the third chapter, where Paul talks about this knowledge of Christ. And in verse 8 of the third chapter, he says this, "Yea, doubtless, I count all things loss, all things but loss, for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ." My lands, I've known that verse for years and years and years. But the significance is just finally dropping upon me. The issue is, I need to know who He is. It's not anything mystical or ethereal. I just need to know Him and who He is. Did you see in the paper this week that Cassius Clay died? I would never have gotten into a ring with him, would you? You know, I met him one day. Charlotte and I had taken a couple days off, and we were staying in this nice hotel down in Milwaukee. And my associate pastor and his wife were with us, and we were on this exclusive floor. It's up 6-8 floors there, you know. And there's a special veranda that overlooked a center court in the hotel. And they served you breakfast up there. And we were sitting there eating breakfast and on either side of a table. And it was just a real informal setting. And Eldon, that was my associate pastor, was sitting right across from me. And pretty soon he looked up and his eyes got real big. And he says, "There's Cassius Clay." And I thought, "Yeah, right, you liar." And he was always pulling my leg, you know. And so Charlotte and I are sitting there, and all of a sudden he stands up, and this great big black arm comes past me like this and shakes Eldon's hand. And at the end of that arm was Cassius Clay. Man, he was a big guy. You know, he stood about this tall. And I, knowing that, and knowing I would never, even with Parkinson's disease, I wouldn't get into a ring with that man. Listen, folks, if you know Jesus, you're not going to fight with Him. If you know Jesus, you're going to obey Him. And beyond that, if you know Jesus, you're going to love Him. Amen. And we learn some more things about Jesus here in Revelation chapter 19. But before we go to the 19th chapter of Revelation, let me take you to the book of Acts chapter 1. In Acts chapter 1, in verse 10 and 11, we find this. The disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ are on the Mount of Olives. Christ is with them, and He's about to be caught up to glory. Verse 10, "And while we looked steadfastly toward heaven, as He went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which also said, Ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as you've seen Him go into heaven." Folks, He's coming back. He's coming back. Now, if you come back to Revelation chapter 19 with me, that is really the significance of verse 10 and 11, where it says, "I saw heaven open, and behold, a white horse. And he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True. And in righteousness," gets what he does. What is he going to do in righteousness? Look at your text. What is he going to do? He's going to judge and what? Make war? That's heavy-duty stuff, guys. You mean that this world is going to come into judgment before Him? You really think that's true? What right does He have to judge this world? Do you believe He's got a right to judge this world? Well, then why do you live like you live? Why do you stay silent on so many things that are going on in this world? Are we not His representatives here? I want to challenge you about something that I think is incredibly stupid that we have accepted. Under the guise of this crazy statement, the separation of church and state, that somehow as churches we are accountable to God, but the state is not. And the state may do things however they want to, but our churches have to obey God. Where do we get that foolish idea? From our ungodly leaders. That's where we get that idea. Now, how in heaven's name we impose the standard of God upon our leaders, I don't know. Other than to constantly and daily remind them that they are going to give an account to God. I think we need to, excuse my language, scare the hell out of them. Where did we get this idea that we can govern the earth however we want to? Psalm 24, the earth is the Lord's, and the fullness thereof, the world, and all they that dwell therein. He never said, go ahead and govern it however you want. It's up to you. You just take care of it. When I come down, I'll fix things up. That's what we think it is. That's absolutely crazy. Absolutely. I read a verse this week, and I was talking to our group Wednesday night about it. Turn with me to 2 Samuel chapter 23. And when I read this, I thought, whoa, that's awfully inclusive. 2 Samuel chapter 23. It's David's last words, and I believe it's his words to Solomon, his son, as Solomon is going to rule in the kingdom. The God of Israel said... Now understand, this is not David. Okay, David is penning it, but he's saying, the God of Israel said, the rock of Israel spake unto me, he that ruleth over men. Now he didn't say, he that ruleth over Israel. He didn't say, he that ruleth over the Jews. He said, he that ruleth over men. That's everybody. Must be just. Number one. And number two, ruling in the fear of God. There are no exclusions to this, folks. And as I was meditating on that this week, you cannot miss the reality that God judges those rulers who disobey that. Where are these kings and rulers who were ungodly? Where's Kaiser Wilhelm? God took him down. Where's Adolf Hitler? God took him down. Where's the Emperor of Japan? God took him down. Throughout history, God has eliminated ungodly rulers. We can't miss that, folks. And if He didn't do that, the earth would self-destruct. God has never given us the privilege to govern ourselves according to our own ideas and values and standards. He has not abandoned His ownership of this world. Turn with me to Ecclesiastes chapter 12 and verse 13. We listened to David. Now let's listen to his son. Ecclesiastes 12, verse 13. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God. Keep His commandments. For this is the whole duty of those who call themselves saved. Is that what it says? It's the whole duty of every man. There's nobody excluded from that. Nobody at all. We don't get a free pass in this life to do it however we want to. Every one of us is going to stand before the king and before the judge. As it is written, every knee shall bow. Every tongue shall declare that He is Lord. You know, that means guys like John Kennedy, Richard Nixon, Lyndon Baines Johnson, Jimmy Carter, Ronald Reagan, George Bush, Bill Clinton. They're all going to give answer to how they've ruled in the wonderful places of authority that God has given them. And unto whom much is given, much is required. Now, follow me on this. We have come up with this strange idea that we have the right to govern ourselves according to our own corporate values, standards, and opinions. I've been doing a lot of reading about the establishment of America and our documents and what our forefathers said. And what we have through history written into and misinterpreted in the ideas of our forefathers. And one of the big errors is what we do with this incredible phrase, we the people. We the people. We the people think that we can govern ourselves, and we have come to that conclusion, that we have the right to govern ourselves. And you read about our forefathers, whether they be a deist like Benjamin Franklin or a godly man like, who's the second president, Crispy Hillman? John Adams. These men believed they had a responsibility to God, and God was the one who governed. I read that quote to you from Abraham Lincoln last week. And here in the text of Revelation, folks, it is incredibly pointed. The governor's coming. And he's coming to judge and make war. Now, I want to take you to another portion of Scripture here in the 19th chapter. And I want to take you over to the 19th verse. And I saw the beast and the kings of the earth and their armies gathered together to make war against him that sat on the horse and against his army. Folks, I just shake my head. Can you imagine that? Who in their right mind would make war with him? It's impossible. What's happening here when heaven is being opened? Reality is being disclosed to us, folks. And he's saying, you've never had the right to govern this world the way you want to. You've never had your right to impose your standards and your values upon this earth. This earth is mine. And you have always been responsible to govern justly and in the fear of God. And he has no right to come back and judge and make war unless he has that authority. And he does. What a fascinating reality that is. Come back with me then to verse 11. I saw heaven open, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True. And in righteousness he doth judge and make war. John begins here with a particular picture that was very familiar to the citizens of the world at this particular time. Whenever a Roman military leader went out to make war and was victorious, he had the privilege to come back into the city of Rome on a white horse. And he would precede his army. So he would come into the city of Rome, being hailed by all the people as a conqueror. Behind him would be his army. And then behind his army would be all the captives and all the spoils of what he had taken. It was a great hallelujah time in Rome when these military leaders came in celebrating such a great victory. And the picture is being shown to us so that we would know, folks, our King is coming back. He's coming back as the absolute victor. He is coming back with all the armies of heaven, and I believe that's his bride, the church. We looked at that last Sunday. And he's coming back with all the spoils of the world. And I say to you this morning, seeing that all these things are coming to pass, what manner of person ought you to be? It is time for you to settle down, get off your high horse, and get back on your knees before the King where you belong. It's time for you to quit whimpering and moaning and comparing with everybody else in this room or in this city or around this world and understand that you are a child of God. You're in the place that He has given you, and you just better serve Him faithfully where you are. Because, folks, there's going to be a test. There's going to be a time of judgment. You are going to face the reality of this. Deal with it, for crying out loud, deal with it and be happy. It's no surrender to serve Him. You're serving this King who's coming. You're serving the one who's coming in on this white horse. You're serving the one who has all the spoils. All of eternity is yours. Quit belly aching for crying out loud and get with the program. Love Him. Serve Him. Enjoy Him. Folks, we'll look tonight at some more of the rest of this. And it's beautiful material. It's things that you need to know. But knowing them, let's react to them as people of God, humble, faithful, loyal servants of God. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the time we've just had to remind ourselves of who your Son is, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And understand the day is coming when all the heavens shall rejoice at his victory. And all the wicked shall mourn at his coming. All unrighteousness will be set aside. The wicked will be cast away. Lord, help us to honor the blessed privilege we have to be your children in this world. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.